Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
Well, I recently had a terrifying experience I've meant to tell you about.
Okay.
Okay, here's what happened. And it was totally by accident. I contacted Antifa.
Okay.
No, I did. Okay, remember that the march where the guy, you know, the Asian reporter
got Oh, yeah.
Hit upside the head?
Yeah.
With the concrete milkshake and got a brain bleed, which like nobody really cared about.
Yeah, of course not.
Except folks on our side who were like, wow, you can't do journalism in this country anymore, can you? Okay, well, there was another guy on the other side of the like police station. Because, of course, this goes on in the you know, in front of the law enforcement center there.
And,
nobody comes out to help you. Unless you're Antifa and you're being beaten by like, you know, a Trump supporter, in which case they rush to your aid. But otherwise, no, the police don't care. So on the other side, this guy got like pummeled with all kinds of stuff, and he had like literally flaps of skin hanging off his head. His head was shaved, right? And it was nasty. And it took dozens of stitches to close it. And in his case, didn't get anywhere near the attention the other guys did. But he was just as badly hurt. And so he, so Twitchy, which is Michelle Watkins' site, posted photos of him. You know, like before and after, like before he got the stitches and after. I mean, it was a nasty mess. Antifa had just beaten the hell out of him. And he was just like the other guy. He was just trying to, you know, record and photograph what was going on there. Basic journalism, which, of course, you're not allowed to do anymore in the country if you're covering left wingers and it makes them look bad. So I put it up and I copied the hashtags that Michelle Markham was using. One of them was Antifa. And I mean, it was just nasty wounds, right? And so I sarcastically wrote on there, look, you know, hey, this is look what the, you know, look what Antifa did to this guy. I guess that's A-okay with the left, though. They won't condemn it. I was being sarcastic, right?
Right.
And out of nowhere, my post explodes. It's gone like all viral and stuff. And there's all these people liking it. And making comments like, yeah, right on, cool, awesome. You know, like, they like what this man's head looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the heck? I mean, the comments were scary. I'm going through ban. Like, you know, no, you can't write that you wish they'd have killed him. I mean, you can't write, you know, that this is good. I mean, it's, no, you can't. I mean, who the heck are these people? Here's what I wrote. Okay. I showed a picture of his, you should see his head. I mean, there's a chunk of flesh missing from it. Okay, his name's Adam Kelly. The result, here's what I wrote, the result of left-wing toxic masculinity in Portland by Antifa, which makes it okie-dokie. Okay? What happened was I tagged Antifa. And all these Antifa folks took me seriously when I wrote, which makes it okie-dokie, and they all piled on talking about how awesome it was and making suggestions for how he could have been hurt worse. Lee, I counted up to 200 of them, and then I lost count.
Mm-hmm.
I banned them all from my page. Because I didn't want them to find the page. You know, like I didn't want them to find me. And so I put that. They misread it. And, man, you should have seen the comments. I mean, these people out there. So I started looking at the people who are commenting because I was kind of curious about them. And I couldn't find a single one who was openly listed as an Antifa supporter, like, you know, in their little bio.
All right.
So people aren't apparently identifying that way, but they're big fans. But every one of them whose pages I read was sick and twisted in some way. I mean, like, aside from politics. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. Well, you just had to look at the pages.
To me, this is the problem, though, with social media. I believe that you should have to sign up as yourself, period. That you should not be able to sign up as an alias or anonymous or as some little, you know, some little weird picture that you put up there and some little made up name. It ought to be yourself. I mean, you know, if you're going to make these comments, if you're going to take these stands, if you're going to promote these ideological beliefs, then you should do it in your own name.
Yeah.
And be held accountable for it. I'm perfectly fine with folks knowing that I believe in conservative principles and the Constitution. And if you want to criticize me for that, fine, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I couldn't believe the comments. I mean, they were truly jacked up and excited about the violence.
Well,
these people are sick.
Yeah, they are.
I didn't appreciate how twisted. They're like, yeah, cool. And a lot of the same people who put the comments were hitting love, as in we like the violence. I mean, I'm just like, wow, these people are frightening.
Yes. Yes, that's where we are in this country right now.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's not just rhetorical. I think it would really go a long way if Democrat leaders would disavow Antifa, disavow Black Lives Matter for, congratulating the left-wing terror attacker, retract Sean King's calling him a martyr, which is the exact same term ISIS uses after terror attacks. It would go a long way to shutting down this violence. But the fact that they won't condemn it just eggs them on and eggs them on and eggs them on. They're getting the implicit message that this is a good thing.
And I think a larger part of the problem, too, is that much of the moderate voters in this country, all they hear is that Trump supporters are a bunch of idiots and they're violent. That's what they hear. They don't see it, but that's what they hear. And then they don't hear about the circumstances like what you're talking about, because mainstream media doesn't cover this. When people who are working for independent or conservative news sites go in to cover something just like anybody else and are beaten to the point where they have concussions and brain injuries, that doesn't make news. So they don't see the violence that the left is inflicting on people who are simply acting as journalists, objective journalists in these situations. But all they hear about from the left is the fact that all you Trump supporters are a bunch of deplorable idiots and you're violent and you're inciting violence. And so I don't, all this stuff, and it's like this whole thing about the Mitch McConnell talking about the chant. Well, you know, both sides are, no, both sides, nothing.
Yeah, that's a load
I'm
of crap.
Sorry.
Who
the
do we
left
hurt?
And the media in this country have been lying about Donald Trump for 2.5 years, saying that he is that he colluded with the Russians, that he is a puppet of Vladimir Putin. It is a lie. It is demonstrably false. It has been proven that there was no evidence of it. It was a lie that was made up to start an investigation that should never have happened. That is provable. That is factual. And yet these people are still lying about this to this day. And then they want to say, well, you know, both sides. Nothing. There's nothing that compares to what has been done to Trump and to Republicans and Republican voters over the past 2.5 years. Period. It does not exist. The level of violence, vitriol, and hatred that is going on from the left is where the problem is. Are there some on the right that participate in actions like this? Yes.
Verbally.
But not to the degree and not to the magnitude and frequency that we see on a daily basis in this country from the left.
No, not even close. I mean, the left is engaging in violence. It's crazy. Hey, you want to hear a theory? I think this is interesting from American Thinker on why Trump disavowed the chant.
Yeah.
And in the process, some say his supporters. If you've been following what's going on with Representative Ilhan Omar, local media, not national media, they're blacking it out. But local media and conservative media have pretty much got her dead to rights. I mean, I've been reading this stuff. I mean, she clearly married her brother, in order to get into the United States. She filed a joint return with a man she was not, tax return with a man she was not married to under the marriage statutes to get the tax benefit.
That's tax fraud.
It's tax fraud. And may have entered the United States as a refugee under a false name. It does not appear she used her actual name. She used somebody else's. If this is proven, that could lead to a revocation of her citizenship and a deportation to Somalia. It's immigration fraud. She could also do a prison term before she goes.
You mean they'd send her back?
That's what happens when you commit a crime. To any immigrant, doesn't matter. Do it from Poland, from Ireland, doesn't matter. I mean, these are felonies. I mean, she probably do some prison time before that, right? Well, last night, Tucker Carlson went in depth about the evidence, and it's pretty irrefutable. Now, you remember Trump the other day in his press conference said, quote, there's a lot about Ilhan Omar, quote, there's a lot of talk about the fact she was married to her brother. I'm sure that somebody would want to be looking at that. And I said, how pathetic it is that the president of the United States has to practically beg on film for, you know, an investigation into clearly what is a crime here. I mean, this evidence is pretty irrefutable. They got the documents. They got her dead to rights. I mean, the investigation on this has been great. Anyway, so here's the theory in American Thinker. I have to assume, Thomas Lifson writes, I have to assume that the Department of Justice has opened an investigation into these matters with Ilhan Omar.
Right.
Yeah, well, that Bill Barr might, but, you know, there's some question as to whether he actually controls the Department of Justice or if the Democrats do. But anyway, I have to assume the Department of Justice has opened an investigation into these matters. If it hasn't, there's something wrong. So it would be imperative for President Trump to avoid any appearance of being responsible for persecuting or prosecuting her. Instead, he must keep his hands off the DOJ and his hands off any effort to expel Omar. The wheels, which, by the way, Lee, the Democrats would secretly love that. Mm-hmm. Don't kid yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The wheels of justice, the old saw has it, grind slowly, but grind very fine. I have no idea, you know, what the DOJ will do with this, but this would make sense because Trump doesn't want to be nailed later, you know, for persecuting her.
Right. Yeah.
And persecution to a Democrat is when you go after a person of color for actual crimes they've committed.
Yeah, when you bring out factual evidence or talk about the policies that they want to enact, that's persecution.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if you're a Republican, facts can be made up, documents can be forged, all kinds of lies can be told about you in the media and everything, and you cannot react to that.
No, they'll even attempt to charge you with crimes and prosecute you for those crimes. Really quickly, because I have gone way too long in this segment, but Alan in Malden is on the line. Here we go. Hey, Alan.
How are you doing today?
Good.
I just want to tell you that I'm one of the people that is going through this liberal left war right now. I might lose my place to live and everything over it, but I'm gonna fight it. I just want to let you know that I'm with you all the way, and I just want to let you know that just go at it, and I appreciate the fight. Just want to let you know I'm in it, and I'm with you. Thanks for letting me on the air, and have a good day. I appreciate it.
Well, sure. Thank you, Alan from Malden. Look, as bad as it gets with your housing situation, you can always thank God that you haven't been hit upside the head yet with a concrete milkshake. It could always be worse. It may actually get worse.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, so the mainstream media freaking out over this. Now, okay, having more of a reaction to this, which of course was a white supremacist racist atrocity, in which no one actually got hurt or shot at. Making much more of that than the fact that a left-wing terrorist shot up an ICE facility this week. This what he did was he went outside and firebombed cars. He blew it up. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to get people to come out of the ICE building so he could kill them. When they did not and officers responded instead, he opened fire on them in an attempt to execute them. The kind of thing we used to, way back 10 years ago, all be able to agree as Americans was a bad thing. We could condemn it without thinking whether the terrorist was right wing or left wing. No one would support that. Yet the second most stunning thing I've ever seen in politics, the first was Trump's election. Truly, if you ask me, second most stunning thing I've ever seen. Not one Democrat, not one presidential candidate, not one Democrat leader condemned this. Not one. Not even when asked. Ayanna Pressley, one of the squad, the socialist squad, AOC, and Ilhan Omar glared at the camera when asked to condemn it. Was chilling. It was an affirmation to anybody who wanted to see it on the Antifa side that they liked this violence. You're not going to hear any flack from them. I mean, my God, people, they attempted to associate federal officers, ICE members, and when they couldn't do that, he attempted to associate police officers. And they refused to condemn it. That's just kind of chill down to your spine. That's the kind of thing that starts a guerrilla-style civil war in a country. And yet, the theory is at ABC that if you tweet something, you are absolutely responsible for what your followers do.
But tonight, John Carl asking the president if his own tweets led to all of this. The president taking no responsibility but saying, quote, he was not happy with it.
Now, they can't believe he won't take responsibility. Well, then why on earth, if that's the standard, the left-wing terrorist quoted AOC verbatim, called the ICE facility a concentration camp, and encouraged his comrades to attack them too. Why isn't AOC directly responsible then for this attack? And Ilhan Omar, who echoed her sentiments. By that standard, the answer should be they are, and they should be condemned in no uncertain terms for being unwilling to condemn the attack. They're fomenting violence in the United States of America. But see, here's the thing. Here's where the divide is. The people who chanted this know all this. They get real news. They know what's going on in their country. They read Breitbart and the Daily Caller. They listen to shows like this one. They are super informed. And given the laundry list of things I just listed, the fact that all these people have done is chant send her back is an absolute model of restraint. Because see, their counterparts on the left are hitting people upside the head with concrete milkshakes, making people bleed, causing flaps of flesh to come off their heads in attacks. Who's restrained? Who's reasonable? This is an incredibly restrained reaction to all that. The problem is that when everybody else in America hears it, it sounds bad because they have been deprived of the knowledge of what's going on in this country. They've had their history stolen from them by the media in real time. Probably the best laundry list I've found of what the people chanting send her back actually know versus what the American people do not was compiled by Paul Joseph Watson, one of my favorite pundits. I want to play it for you right now because it's just awesome. As you're listening to this, realize that those outraged by the send her back chant outside of the media know none of what he's laying out on Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar has said and done a lot of crazy stuff. She described the worst terrorist atrocity ever perpetrated on U.S. soil as some people did something.
Some people did something?
She called for, quote, compassion for wannabe ISIS jihadists and said that a judge in Minnesota should give them lenient sentences. She refused to denounce Al-Qaeda.
Can you respond to some of the president's specific claims, most notably that you're a communist and that you're pro-Al-Qaeda?
You might have noticed how when he said, go back to where you came from, there was an uproar.
And you're pro-Al-Qaeda.
She refused to denounce the Antifa terrorist attack on an ICE facility in Washington State.
Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn it?
Is it clear?
Antifa firebombed a facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that?
She was caught on camera laughing about and making light of the Islamic terrorist threat.
And so it was the thing that was interesting in the class was every time the professor said Al-Qaeda, he sort of like his shoulders went up and, you know,
yeah, he's in command
like,
here.
Al-Qaeda, you know,
he's an expert.
She blamed America for the collapse of the socialist system in Venezuela.
A lot of the policies that we have put in place has kind of helped lead the devastation in Venezuela.
Some say she even married her own brother. That's a lot of crazy. But despite all of that, I love Ilhan Omar. And if you want to see Trump reelected, you should love her too.
Now, keep in mind, those who were outraged by this know none of that. None of what Paul Joseph Watson just described. Because they've been kept ignorant by the media. And so when you are led to believe that the only reason they might have chanted that is because she's black and they're racist, might even make sense. It might even be reason for an already quasi-deranged person like, oh, say, our left-wing terrorist friend from earlier in this week to pick up another gun. and try to kill. And you got to wonder, how many times will that happen before the left is forced to take responsibility for the destructive rhetoric? I'll tell you something. There's a big difference between the left's rhetoric and Trump's. You know what it is? The left's is full of lies. There's no concentration camps. Nobody's drinking out of toilets. Never happened. I mean, unless somebody just wanted to drink out of the toilet, I mean, I guess they could. No one would stop them. And those lies are having deadly consequences. What Trump said in those tweets might have offended some. I don't see why, but it might have. None of it was untrue, though. And it's those lies that are fueling literally, we're seeing the beginning of a guerrilla civil war here in which people will be killed. Thank God no one was this week. Texter writes, they're calling it a racist chant on MSM. Maybe they mean MSN. Not sure.
Yeah. Well, mainstream media or MSNBC, which is one of the same.
Yeah, maybe that's what they mean. Texter writes, free speech, the right of the pursuit of happiness. They cannot take mine. Oh, they're going to try, though.
Oh, yeah.
They will. Did you hear me talking about this Fourth Circuit ruling?
No.
This is insanity. And this all comes out of that right of self-identity I keep warning about. And, and I've said, you know, they're only using transgenders in the beginning because that's part of the whole LGBTQ spectrum. And, of course, you can't criticize anything that's part of that, right? So that's why they're starting there, but they're going to branch out. Well, this is the branching out process, you know, where you are forced to affirm the lifestyle, go along with whatever delusion, whether that's a white woman who claims to be black, an intact male who claims to be a female, you must participate or else. This is where this is all coming from. This is what's happening. Okay, what happened was there's a set of laws that they were ruling on. And the set of laws basically say, and every state has these, every city has these for the most part, you can't have public drunkenness. You can't, you know, wander around, staggering around. I mean, we all know that. You could get arrested for that.
Right.
It gives police a way to get you off the street, stop the public disturbance, and maybe even in court get you into some sort of treatment, right?
How about keeping you from hurting yourself or someone else?
Oh, yeah, it's an added bonus. Okay, well, they threw all the laws out for this, you know, section of Virginia. It's the Fourth Circuit. And the law, this was in a decision that was a, 7-6 decision with 7 Democrats versus 6 Republican appointees. Okay. So how did that happen? Well, what they said was alcoholism is part of your identity. It's genetically inherent, right? It's not your fault you're an alcoholic. It's your genes. And you cannot criminalize somebody for what's in their genes. And by that, I mean G-E-N-E-S, but at the rate we're going, it may be J-E-A-N-S too. I don't know. So it's just inherent, and you can't criminalize that. And they're basing this off of, okay, like say, you know, if you're gay, you're obviously born gay. So you can't criminalize that. We used to have laws against, you know, gay people, that kind of thing. And of course, we shouldn't have that. But they want to extend this now to alcoholism. So they just wiped all the laws out in bank, just wiped them out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And as Powerline described it, they wrote it really well. This reverses 60 years of Supreme Court precedent. This has never been done in America before. And I mean, you look at that and you're like, well, I mean, then there's your basis for throwing out the drunk driving laws, right? Because you couldn't help that you killed somebody. It's who you are. You're an alcoholic. Then you would throw out what? Can't tell you not to smoke in a restaurant, right? Because it's not your fault you're an addict, right? I mean, where do you go with this? Anarchy.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be surprised if the Supreme Court doesn't overturn this, but this is where they're going with all this. This was the point. This is why they used transgenders in the beginning, and you got to say they and not he and she, and you got to do all this. They're starting with transgenders, but they're merely using them. And they're going to get to the point where they expand this so that you are forced to affirm and celebrate every morally reprehensible thing that you can possibly conceive of, except Christianity, by the way. You will not be forced to confirm, to affirm and celebrate Christianity, but everything else is on the table.
Okay, so we're going to identify one particular aspect of society that does not have First Amendment rights, but we're going to extend that to everyone else.
Well, see, but yeah, because you weren't born Christian. I mean, it's not in your genes. See what I'm saying? So, no, there's no protections for that. But I mean, you know, if you were born with a propensity to, you know, like swinging or whatever, you know, and have an open relationship, I mean, that's a lifestyle. You know, you can't, you have to celebrate that. Okay. You have to affirm it. I mean, you have to.
What if I have a Southern lifestyle?
No, you chose that.
Well, I was Doesn't born count. In the South. It's in my genes. It's my genetic heritage. That's where I was born. I am the descendant of people who have been in this part of the country for centuries.
You'll have to ask the Fourth Circuit. Texter writes, and this is where they're going. I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time. They want pedophiles included, too. Absolutely. You could put pedophilia under this judicial argument, could you not? If you can't help that you got drunk because you're an addict, it's a disease, it's in your genes, then you certainly can't help your pedophilia, right?
Well,
no. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but the ruling is crazy. It's not me, it's them. I mean, by that argument, pedophilia, shoot, that's probably more inherent than drunkenness. You can't criminalize that.
Well, talk to Jeffrey Epstein.
Actually, it really wasn't criminal for him for a long time, was it?
Yeah, he got away with it for a long time.
Yeah. By the way, one of the leaked emails that Julian Assange hopefully and heroically got for us out of the Podesta stack.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Podesta was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff.
Yeah.
And chief fundraiser. That was they were tracking any mention of Bill Clinton and Epstein together in the media, and they had like a hit squad to respond to it whenever the media would link the two. I'm sure there's nothing there.
No, of course not.
I mean, it was only 26 trips to the island, and
yeah.
You know what kills me too? By the way, he lied about that.
Yeah.
You know that response he gave? Oh, no, it was just a couple of, we never left the country, and we just went to a couple states, and we just had to work on some stuff. Dude, do you realize Epstein co-founded the Clinton Foundation?
Hmm.
Huh. They co-founded the Clinton Foundation with a pedophile. Why would you do that? Couldn't you found it on your own? Anybody curious? I mean, this is a guy, he's not just a guy who was a pedophile, which would be his own business. I mean, this was a guy who was pimping women for high-profile men. So he could control them. And he co-founded the Clinton Foundation. I mean, we're not interested in that.
So for anybody else, they would be demanding that they immediately refund all of the, turn back all the money that was donated to that foundation.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? They already spent it on Chelsea's wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
And trips around the world and stuff like that. No. But here's what's so amazing. But by the way, this is another one of these this week that you're just like, what? I mean, think about this. But before Trump's tweet stole the stage, the center stage, I mean, what was the big story? That Trump knew Jeffrey Epstein, right?
Yeah.
And they were friends once. And one time, Trump said something positive about Jeffrey Epstein. This was before Epstein was ever arrested or investigated,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And that's the big story.
And this was like from the 80s or 90s.
Yeah. But Trump never went to the pedophile island, not once, much less 26 times. Trump's nonprofit organizations were not co-founded with Jeffrey Epstein. Believe me, if they were, we would know.
Yeah.
And yet, what's the story, Ben? Jeffrey Epstein once had ties to Donald Trump through social events at Mar-a-Lago, which, by the way, Trump personally kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago after he found out he made advances toward an underage girl. Not news.
No.
Bill Clinton flew on Jeffrey Epstein's private jet, the Lolita Express, 26 times to Pedophile Island, and not news. Not news.
Yep.
You know what? I didn't go to this line initially to talk to Eric in Blacksburg because I thought it was like a fake call. But it's not. You're right, Eric. Tell us what you have to say.
Yes, ma'am. It's an example of the double standard that just drives me crazy. And I'm sure plenty of y'all. The anti-Semite David Duke, Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, former Grand Wizard, threw his support behind Ilhan Omar, saying that she was the only one with the courage to stand up to the evil Jews who rule American government. And you don't hear nothing about it.
You know, I didn't even look this up, Eric, when you popped up on the text line. I thought, oh, come on, David Duke didn't endorse Ilhan Omar. And he did! I just looked it up! You taught me something today. Thank you.
No problem. I appreciate your show. You and Lee do a great job. I listen to Prager, Hannity, Levin, all of them. I look forward to the morning hours the most.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Eric. I got to tell you, that absolutely makes my day. You have made my day in my last segment on a Friday. Thank you. And taught me something. Now, hold on. Okay, let's take this to its logical conclusion. Now, let's just say, do you remember? Okay, he's right, first of all. Former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke endorsed Ilhan Omar and regularly praises her on his site. I don't have to give you too much data on him other than he's a Ku Klux Klan, former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard, which is problematic if you're not a Democratic senator. And if you are, it's okay. But it's if you are not a Democrat senator, then it is you know, like Robert Byrd, then it is problematic. Okay, hugely problematic. Do you remember when Duke endorsed Trump? Do you remember the hysteria over that? It went on for weeks. And so David Duke endorses Trump and puts it out there. And so Trump is immediately asked, hey, you know, David Duke has endorsed you. How, you know, what do you say about that? And Trump goes, I disavow. No, I totally disavow. As he should have right off the bat, right? Okay. Well, they keep asking him about David Duke's endorsement. And in the subsequent media request, and by the way, when he disavowed, he was in the middle of a press conference, right? I mean, so it's one of these media pressers. So it's clearly on the record. It's over. The second time he's asked about it, since he's already covered it, he doesn't say he disavows because it's old territory, right? We're done with this. They nailed his rear end to a wall for not disavowing in the second and the third comment. If you listen to the second and third comment, he's like, you know, basically, obviously he's a bad guy, blah, 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 blah. Like, ha! He didn't disavow! Racist! And it went on forever. It drove me crazy. Okay. Well, I mean, I thought this was supposed to be the political kiss of death, the end of the world. David Duke endorses you? Did you know he endorsed Representative Ilhan Omar in March? Oh, yeah, he did a whole podcast on her. How lovely she is for standing up to the Jews. And how Washington's really controlled by the Jews, who, of course, need to be destroyed. He said she was the best member of Congress and praised her anti-Semitism. Well, doesn't she need to disavow? Good God, we're behind the ball. It was in March. Not one person has asked her to disavow? Where's the outrage? Why does it only count with Trump? And with Trump, he got in trouble because he didn't disavow repeatedly. Once was not enough. And what does it say that a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard thinks Ilhan Omar is the best member of Congress? What does that say? I don't know. Nobody will ask the question. Again, folks, just one more example of how they manipulate and lie. And the worst lies the media tells are the lies of omission. They steal your history from you in real time. What if the American people knew that Ilhan Omar wrote a letter asking for a lenient sentence for ISIS terrorists? Actually, they were Al-Qaeda terrorists. No, they were ISIS. They were ISIS terrorists from her district. Begged not to put them away for life. Who does that? Is endorsed by David Duke? Refused to condemn Al-Qaeda? Refused to condemn a left-wing terror attack? This is a scary person. If the American people knew what I just told you, do you think they'd be offended by that chant at the Trump rally? See, because the folks at the Trump rally know that stuff. That's why they're chanting. They don't know the David Duke part. I can't believe she doesn't have to disavow. So seeing all the little heaping help in a white supremacist, A-OK if you're a Democrat, right?
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.